Yes.
For PAAC, for PAC, that I wasn't able to respond to the email. I was flabbergasted when I got out of PAC, Chairman, and realized that the media called you, and you rudely indicated that we have an objection to inviting the internal auditors. I was shocked, and I was very disappointed, because it means I can't trust you as a chairman.
When the
question was asked, without any of us knowing that you had consorted with the media to say the fact that we didn't respond means that we have an objection. And to think the moment it came, we all raised our hands. I went to the Auditor General and I said, I believe we must have the internal auditors here. I went to you and said the same. So I was shocked that behind our back as the chairman, you would take us not responding to an email as an indication that we are in objection and we do not support. And you need to stop it, Mr. Chairman, because very often a message is sent to the media which goes to the public that betrays all honesty, the circumstances, and then we are forced to live with it. If you do it again, Mr. Chairman, we are going to insist that only at the meeting, which is what is required, we make our decisions.
That is my point.
If we cannot trust you, Mr. Chairman, if you ever do it again, because nothing prevents you, Mr. Chairman, when you realize you have that email, from calling your fellow member of the committee. However, none of us received the call. None of us were asked, how comes you haven't responded? But you had time to go to the media. So when I saw it, Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry I didn't see it on the day. I was pissed.
You know, I take strong objection. I take strong objection to what the member said. An email was sent out by the clerk on my instruction asking members to respond. Two members responded in that. Two members, member cousins and member guy. But the email went to all members.
Mr. Chairman, if you are saying that the email went out less than 24 hours before we were supposed to read that email and to make a decision, the only two persons who responded at the time, Mr. Chairman, are the two persons that are aligned to the party that the chairman is supporting.
I don't know why these members are going down this road.
I had asked you earlier, you know, just to make it slide and make it just go by the books as of now. But you resist the situation.
I resisted. Member Holness has made accusations, which I take offense to.
Mr. Chairman,
about members going behind people's back and consorting with the media.
Before Member Holness came, Member Guy had made some statement, and I said to you, Mr. Chairman, be careful of the precedents that we set. Two members responded, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I think you have my number. You could have given me a call, just as how the other two get it.
No. The email went to every single member.
Chairman, just to make it clear.
Yes,
I did not receive a phone call from you or anybody else in regard to this matter. I received an email and I responded to the email that was received. I take exception to what the members have heard to earlier as it relates to some conspiracy between us on this side. No, I'm going to use it because you have heard to it. And you cannot member avert to any conspiracy like that. All of us received an email. I responded to the email.
How are you sure that I received the email?
Well, you must know what you want to do. But I received the email, I responded accordingly. And I take exception to that. And we shouldn't be detaining ourselves now with this issue. We have bigger fish to fry than that. You're making a, Chairman, the member is making a mountain out of a molehill. We have bigger issues to deal with, national issues.
And I must tell you, I take strong offense to what Member Holness has said about me conspiring with the media and going behind the back of the committee to conspire with the media. I take strong offense to that. An email was sent out. Two people responded in time. Member Charles responded after, right? I brought the matter to the committee. The committee approved.
Mr. Chairman, did you speak to the media?
I spoke to the media the day before the committee meeting.
Did you make mention that it seems as if the government members are hiding away or renewing?
I did not. I don't
what
control.
Was, what was it
hold on. I don't control what the media reports, you know. I don't control what the media reports. And I take offense to any suggestion that I tell the media what to report. I don't tell the media what to report. So when I'm told that I'm conspiring with the media, I take strong offense to that. I don't control what the media reports. And I don't know why we have spent 10, 15 minutes on this matter when we have substantive matters to deal with. See? Having not gotten a response, the matter came properly here, and the committee approved. And the persons are invited.
Mr. Chairman, it's not the invitation, it is a principle. The principle on which... That is what the argument is about this morning.
And the principle is what, sir?
You know, Mr. Chairman, you have been here longer than I am.
No, what is the principle?
You are more well-read than I am.
No, what is the principle you are referring to? Can we invite the members?
Mr. Chairman, before you invite the members, I would seek to have the member show me which part in the standing orders he's referring to as to how the invitation is done. And secondly, my understanding of what the precedence in the committee has been, and yes, I've been here a long time too, member, that the decision of the committee is what ministry or what agency is to be invited. Now, I do concur with you, Chairman, is that the membership of the committee was not even required to request a member of the ministry to attend along with the chief accounting officer to come to this committee. That has never been a problem before. And I'd invite the member to tell me which section of the standing orders refer to that.
Can we invite the members from the Ministry of Labour inside?
We're going to vote on it. I feel it was highly disrespectful because Chairman could have even said, you know, I didn't realize that you were not able to respond, and I've already gone to the media with comments that would be anti or adverse to the position that took place. And if the Chairman continues to hold firm to his position and the members from the opposition side, I would say going forward our decisions are made at meetings, and since we do not need to be consulted, then you don't need to consult us on what you do not think is necessary to consult the government on, because you had elaborate time to sit down with the media to come to a conclusion that the government members had blocked or were not interested in having the internal auditors here, which was a lie.
Member Holness, I resent you associating the other government members, because two different points are in front of us now, and I was for one particular instance addressing one concern. Yours is another. So I would humbly request that you refrain from associating the members of the opposition with the notion that you're having just now.
Can we invite the members from the ministry officials in? Welcome, Madam Permanent Secretary. Could you introduce the members who are here from the ministry?
Okay. Morning, members, morning, Chairman, members of the Auditor General's Department, Minister of Finance. This morning, I have with me Ms. Portia Magnus, Director, National Insurance, and I'll just ask the individual just to put up their hand. Mr. Jason Anderson, who is to my right, Principal Financial Officer for the Ministry. Ms. Elsa Marks-Willis, Project Director for the PATH Project. Dave McIntosh, Transition Manager, National Insurance Fund. Mr. Ludlow Bowie, Director Real Estate. Mr. Owen Whiteley, Director Administration. Ms. Sidia Madden, Chief Internal Auditor for the Ministry. And Ms. Deborah Patrick Gardner, Chief Technical Director, assigned to the ministry. And there is also Ms. Kate Bertram, who chairs the ministry's internal audit committee.
Thank you. Madam Deputy AG, could you introduce your team? Oh, sir, sorry. Mr. Sorry, my apologies.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am Marlon McAdam, Deputy Auditor General, and with me today, Mrs. Gay Lou Lim, Deputy AG, Mr. Ricardo Hall, Acting Deputy AG, and we're supported by Principal Auditors, Mr. Deslan McKenzie, Ms. Iselin Cooper, and Ms. Hyacinth Williams. Thank you.
Ms. Blake.
Right, Hope Blake, Deputy Financial Secretary. To my right is Suzette Campbell, who is the head of the Directorate with responsibility for internal audit policy and procedures. And right beside me here to the left is Yvette Brown, head of the unit responsible for public sector reform policy.
Thank you, members. Madam PS, I want to start by looking at the Auditor General's assessment of the Ministry's internal audit reports. And in it, in the response from the Ministry, you had indicated that a number of the internal audit reports were not brought to your attention.
On a point of order, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Member Clark.
This document was handed to me this morning. I want to know from my members, other members. Is it that they are receiving it for the first time this morning?
I received it here. I don't believe we can consider it, given that it was only tabled today,
okay,
because nobody would have had an opportunity to peruse these documents. So I indicated to the clerk, and I say here that there's no way that you could ask members with no notice to read through the entire file.
Chairman, do you have any idea what is being conveyed in the files?
I don't know yet, but when the PS, I'll ask the PS if she can so indicate.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. What the ministry did, recognizing the short timeline that we had to submit our initial response to the PAC, during the past couple of days, we went through to provide additional documentation, evidential documentation to support some of our responses. So it is in fact evidence to support our responses. It's not things for the members to necessarily consider, but as we're going through